Hi, my name is Michael Creamer, and welcome to the next in a series of Cushman & Wakefield podcasts that look at the world of property and what's going on globally. Obviously, in these difficult times, it's important that we understand how we can help clients globally. And today's podcast is going to focus on something that is extremely important, and that is global data, obviously in the face of the pandemic. I'm delighted to have three people from different parts of the world joining in. Brett Abrams, who runs our portfolio administration program globally. Kim Byrne, who's based in Birmingham and runs lease administration for Cushman across Europe, Middle East and Africa. And lastly, Nick Seaton, who is a director in the integrated portfolio management team covering APAC for Cushman. Before we get going and start talking about some of the interesting things that are going on at the moment, I'm just going to get my guests to introduce themselves. So maybe I can start with you, Brett.
Perfect. Thanks, Michael, and thanks for having me on. My name is Brett Abrams. I'm the Global Head of Portfolio Administration based in Chicago. I've been involved with portfolio administration for the last 4 years, and prior to that, I worked within strategic consulting, helping clients do portfolio strategy and workplace strategy for the 7 years before that. Happy to be here.
Great. Kim?
Great. Thanks, Michael. So I've worked within Cushman's Global Occupier Services business for about 13 years, mainly working with corporate occupiers, working to align their portfolio real estate strategy with the business strategy. And over time, there was more of an emphasis on data and due diligence. So then towards the middle of last year, moved in to oversee the EMEA lease admin business.
Fantastic. And last and certainly not least, because you're based in Asia, Nick.
Thanks, Michael, and thank you for inviting me along. I've based within Cushman & Wakefield's office in Singapore. I've been out in the Asia-Pacific region for just over 10 years now. Throughout my career, I've been working in the corporate real estate advisory service. Until recently, I was part of the evolution of our lease administration service for Asia-Pacific. Recently, I've moved into a broader role, which really encompasses not just the data, but also the execution and the delivery of what some of those data elements mean. And good to join you all today.
Great, thanks. And before we kind of get into what we're seeing today, I think it's good to kind of level set the conversation and start with what we were doing pre the virus. So maybe, Brett, you could kick us off and talk to us about what do we mean by portfolio administration and why is that so important?
Certainly. So really at the most basic level, Michael, portfolio administration is the digitization of portfolio and property data. So it's taking leases, it's taking documents relating to owned properties, getting the data out of those documents in its most usable form and into a database for many, many business stakeholders to be able to use. So there's many things that you can put off the back of this data, whether it's paying your bills, doing invoice reconciliation, auditing your data. There's a number of business stakeholders that have a vested interest in the portfolio and real estate data. I think what's really interesting is if you go back 10 years, this service was really focused on cost savings. A lot of companies use this as a replacement for parts of their commercial real estate function. Then you go back 5 years with IFRS and FASB requirements, and you saw an evolution of this data being used not only by commercial real estate, but by accounting and controllership functions as well. And then you get to today, where what we have seen really over the last couple of weeks and months is that this data has been primary for business continuity planning, understanding all the different aspects of your portfolio, the different ways that you can interweave the clauses to manage your portfolio, especially in times of crisis and emergency, and even the more complex clauses that a lot of people simply don't have visibility to within their leases has become crucial at a time like this.
Great. And obviously, people are going to want to know what's happening now. But before we get to that, let's just keep going. And one of the big mega trends going on in the world, as we all know, is technology. Kim, why don't you talk a little bit about some of the challenges that we face with collecting, getting this data, and also how technology is moving things along for the business?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, like most facets of the real estate industry, technology is having a huge impact and has potential to have even greater impact as these technologies are being developed. I mean, examples like AI technology, robotic process automation, we're seeing those come into the lease administration sphere already, and many service providers and clients are applying those within their lease admin processes. But I think we're still not at the point where we're seeing large-scale human effort replacement. And I think that's one of the next big hurdles to overcome. And part of that is going to be getting this technology to master multiple languages, you know, achieving the absolute highest levels of accuracy. The spectrum of data that our clients will want to store in a single database was already increasing massively, and after current events is going to increase even further. But things like, we already apply drone technology for clients when we're doing building inspections and things like that. We're looking at virtual reality office recreations when we're looking at building tours. Those are all interesting applications of new technology that, if was combined with the underlying real estate data, would start to build up a very impressive virtual portfolio. But I think as well, you know, that's more at the front end of the spectrum. There are clients that are looking at their first generation outsource that are facing, you know, challenges that we know very well. You still got to work out, where is the data, particularly if it's still stored physically? How do you get the business to follow a new lease administration process? How do you bring them along in the journey, show them the value, and get all the stakeholders that Brett mentioned aligned on the lease admin vision? And then just, I think, final point, more and more clients are wanting to use the underlying data to drive portfolio analytics and business intelligence. And we're going to be using the data a lot more. But at the same time, there are pressures in the other direction on our clients to make sure that they are complying with information security protocols. How are they protecting their own data when we're combining multiple different data sources? And you also at the same time have to have a very robust master data policy. So those are just a few of the things that our clients are dealing with in the current environment.
And Nick, if we just move to Asia now, maybe talk a little bit about global consistency of data. Is that something that clients are looking for, and how are people able to achieve that?
Yeah, absolutely, Michael. I think that's part of the key driver at the moment. And you know, some of the points that Kim and Brett have touched upon really show that what we have within Cushman & Wakefield is that our clients are global. Our data is managed globally through our portfolio service centres and indeed our overall processes around data collection. But it begins to then look at, how do you collect that when you have multiple languages? How can you be consistent across multiple leasing codes as well? It's not just the same lease structure in one country. It is the same lease structure in one country versus another lease structure in another country, and how you ensure that the dates, dollars, covenants, and various other parts of the leases are consistently reviewed, consistently abstracted, but more importantly, how are they interpreted? The collection is one thing, and you know, as we move further into our discussion today, it's what are these leases telling us? How can we really get that information for not just one lease, but for many leases across many countries to give them the information they need? What we found, and Brett touched on this, and there really was IFRS. And IFRS has, in some respects, moved the whole world of data collection forward such a long way. So many companies have had to do such a large amount of work over recent times to be compliant to IFRS that I would say on many levels, the consistent base data is a lot better than it used to be. And that gives us a strong foundation to begin to drive out some of these insights and some of these directions that clients want us to give them. Kim touched on technology. And actually, whilst we have a variety of different technologies that help us in this world, especially within lease administration, the key part that we find at the moment is the technology is supporting us to deliver consistent lease administration in a remote setting outside of our traditional offices. If we went back a few years, I'm not sure we'd be able to do that in quite the same way. I'm not sure the industry would be able to do that. I think the way a lot of systems have gone into a cloud environment means that for our clients today, they're seeing no differentiation in what we're delivering to them today than we did last week or in an Asia Pacific context 2 months ago. We also look to a degree at what the people are doing. And I think that that's what we see across our broader Cushman & Wakefield lease administration platform is our people are supporting our clients. Our people are consistently trained. So regardless of whether you're in Asia, Europe, or indeed in North America, they're approaching these leases with the same consistency. And I think that's really the important part that we've got today is how can we give the clients the information they need in every market for every language in which they operate?
Okay, so now let's layer a massive amount of complexity onto the top of that and kind of move to the part that everyone is really interested in is what's been happening in Asia and what kind of lessons have you learned from what's been going on? I mean, I think I read today that China is almost back up and running at full steam, that the coal-fired power stations are back to 85%, businesses are open again. Is anything beginning to shift with the corporates in terms of their view of data, whether it's the collection of it or what they want to do with it?
It is. I mean, certainly parts of Asia are beginning to emerge from, let's say, this enforced hibernation. China certainly has been very successful in the control. And yes, it's come at great cost. But businesses are beginning to think, right, what are we going to need to get going? What is that information we need? And if we want to look back to what we're talking about today, which is that property data, we've got 2-3 months now into reviewing portfolios, reviewing especially the sort of the Chinese portfolios, really focused within the retail and that sort of food and beverage sectors. How can we advise clients? How can we tell them what to do when their retail environment is shut for all the reasons that we don't necessarily need to go into? What can we tell them about their lease provisions around stay open? What can we tell them about the cleaning elements that need to be done within a sort of retail mall? Offices, again, they were just generally closed. And I would say that as people come back to work, you know, what tenants are going to beginning to look at is ensuring those landlords continue with the biosecurity that they have put in place. So, you know, unlike, you know, other parts of the world where it's been a bit slower in appreciating just kind of the enormity, you know, in a lot of the Asia markets, we've had heat scanners at the main front doors. We've had sanitizer absolutely everywhere. We've had enhanced cleaning regimes, both within common parts and also within tenant areas. We've had heat signatures and people signing into disclaimers as they come into the office, whether they be a tenant or whether they be visiting. So there's a lot more focus on that and then moving into this kind of steady state, which is really, when can we start opening back up these shopping malls? When is it safe to do so? Largely, the leases are not going to tell us when to do that. It's going to be the government, it's going to be the economy that's going to tell our clients when to do that. China's a great example of how we can begin to move forward. Now, what we're seeing in other parts of Asia, especially if you sort of look further south to Australia and New Zealand, they're sort of beginning this journey a little bit more. Singapore and kind of the Southeast Asia countries have been managing this crisis in different ways. But broadly speaking, what we've learned is that the lease is the lease. But actually, the relationship with the landlord and the relationship with the landlord and tenant is the key part to, as a partnership, work through these moments. Regardless of what your lease says, everybody is working together to get through this.
Interesting. And I think if we take a maybe morph that into the global view, Brett, how can portfolio administration help occupiers of space, I guess, work more closely with their landlords and also sort of deal with this? And do you see things changing? Be interested to know what, particularly what you've been seeing in the US, but rather like Europe, you're in the middle of it. So I'm not sure if clients are reacting yet or whether it's something that you think will come in the future.
Well, I think what's really interesting, Michael, is that clients are reacting differently across the board. There's very little consistency. I think when this thing hit in different parts of the world, the one consistent theme was time was not on our side. And resources were incredibly limited, right? In emergencies and things like a global pandemic, a lot of resources in this sort of situation are essentially pushed to the limit. And it's the clients that have prepared for this or have prepared in some capacity for this with their data that are able to be agile and shift their portfolios to really solution what they need to do. If you think about this, there's different country stages. So Nick talked about where Asia's at and the United States is, you know, 4 to 6 months behind that. Europe is in the middle. There's different states and statutory rights. And then there's different variances facility. So commercial real estate departments have had to really adapt quickly. We've had just in the last 3 weeks, almost 100 different requests from clients. Now, some of them might be the most basic. They might be, I need a quick list of all of my landlord contacts. I have to be able to contact my landlords and tell them or notify them of changes in my business quickly. And a lot of times that's a 1 or 2 click solution within a portfolio administration database. We've got more complicated requests, things like I need all of my force majeure clauses out of every lease. I need to understand all my early termination options. I need to understand where I have the ability to get rent abatement, or if there's government or statutory changes as well. Clients really need the data. They need their lawyers. They need us, sort of the trifecta of understanding the portfolio. And then lastly, we need to be able to strategize and figure out what can we do to get you through this time. There's a lot going on in terms of the portfolio and how do you monetize that? How do you turn it into a tool for cash as well? But it really all starts with the data and ensuring that you have a firm grasp and understanding of what can the portfolio do and what can it not do.
Okay, then maybe if we flip it back to you, Kim, and think about Europe, what do you see happening with the corporates as we're all holed up in our houses dealing with co-working from home and kids out of school and whatever our personal circumstances are? But what's the reaction from
me about that for sure? Yeah, I mean, it's very similar to, you know, what Brett and Nick have outlined for the other regions. Clients are asking for extracts from the database and from their leases that they've never really before had to consider or rely on at any great depth. And I think the clients that are on the front foot are the ones that already have a robust database. They already have large amounts of lease data extracted in a consistent way. And then, you know, we're getting similar requests for what is the landlord obligation for cleaning and sanitation? What is the property use class? You know, when we see governments across EMEA, particularly the UK and some Western Europe markets, offering statutory relief on property tax, it becomes very critical to be able to assess your portfolio and understand what use class your property is classed as. And then I think there are clients as well that, you know, if they have outsourced their rent processing or their treasury function to a service provider, they will likely find themselves in a position where they're much better able to respond to government and institutional landlord rent holidays, rates reliefs, things like that. You know, we had an example last week after the government in the UK made a move to offer relief on retail and leisure properties. We, Cushmans, were very quickly able to assess whether we were going to put a stop on a payment that was due imminently. If you don't have all of those processes aligned or outsourced with a provider, then it can be a lot harder to pull all the different strings within an organization to make sure that doesn't happen. And at times like this, I think protecting corporate cash flow is obviously critical. So that's where it can really add value.
Kim, let me jump in there for a minute. So we have a client, I think it's about 600 or 700 global locations. They operate in 70 or 80 countries, and they have outsourced their rent payment to us. So we are actually cutting checks on behalf of the client. And, you know, the hot topic right now is, should we be paying rent in certain parts of the world? Does force majeure apply? Things like that. And no matter what, we got a call essentially 2 weeks ago saying, stop paying rent. And it was one phone call with one email confirmation and 600 checks were stopped. That's the sort of sophisticated process that great clients and clients with a lot of foresight have been able to utilize. So, you know, the clients that don't have that, that's likely a day or 2 day project to get those things stopped and keep the cash in the door. For those that have centralized or outsourced that service and utilized portfolio administration, again, it's one phone call and you're on to the next component of how do we deal with this crisis. So that's the sort of differentiated service that can help clients in times like these.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. And I think is maybe we kind of jump to where we're going next. I have a little bit of fun, but our Prime Minister in the UK likes to quote Churchill. And I was looking at something today, and one of his famous quotes is, if you're going through hell, keep going. I think a lot of us think we're probably going through hell right now. But what do you think, Brett, about what's going to happen to the portfolio administration kind of business? Is it going to shift to a different level, or is it going to be just keep doing what we're doing?
It'll be a little bit of both, Michael. So first of all, I think what you're going to see is an emphasis on the need for the data. Portfolio administration and real estate data is going to go into every single business continuity plan across the globe. And if it's not, it should be. You need this data in order to run your business, not only in good times, but in difficult times or times that you need to be flexible and agile. The data that we capture is going to change. So there's going to be a whole new slew of clauses. Force majeure is going to be front and center for the next 2 to 3 years. I'm certain there's going to be lawyer bills racked up across the globe for writing the best force majeure clause. Within portfolio administration, we are going to need to go capture that. You're going to see, you know, global pandemic specific clauses. Really, leases are going to fundamentally change. It could be flexibility. It could be more options. It could be new clauses, things like essential business clauses. That's a hot topic in the United States. What's an essential business? And should that be factored into leases? What we are going to do in portfolio administration is actually change the data that we capture regularly. We're actually doing this now in support of our brokers. So a lot of our brokers, where clients don't necessarily have portfolio administration, a lot of small mid-cap, call it 10 to 15 location clients, brokers are sending them to us and saying, can you simply go through and abstract the very basic information to get through this crisis? That's where clients are going to say, hey, Cushman & Wakefield was there for us, and we're happy to do it, but we're going to roll that into how we support clients moving forward. So you're going to see a fundamental shift.
Great. And Nick, Asia, what are you thinking might emerge, or what are you seeing maybe emerge already from Asia now that, and I know it's not all of Asia that's back at work, and obviously there's India and Australia, New Zealand, and a couple of other countries which are probably more aligned to where the US and Europe are, but certainly other countries are hopefully out the back end of this. So what's your view?
Yeah, I mean, as a region, we've got every stage on the timeline that you could see at the moment. I think some of the takeaways, if I could say that, and you know, it's still a bit too early to call it, but you know, a lot of things that Brett has just touched on is absolutely right on top of it. And if you speak to brokers who are beginning to, again, develop some of the conversations they were having with clients prior to the pandemic, really taking so much attention is, right, what else do we need in our leases that we didn't have before that we're going to need? So, yeah, we've touched on force majeure, and you only need to go onto a search online at the moment and type force majeure and corporate leases, and everybody's got a view of it. And the lawyers, absolutely rightfully so, are giving interpretation to it. And you could say, whilst that's the place everybody goes to, regardless of market, there is always some form of, let's not call it necessarily force majeure, but some unknown thing that stops you from taking occupation and what may frustrate that occupation. The provisions within that will be tightened up. So you can be very specific to acts of God, pandemics, other things that prevent you from, I guess, enjoying the lease for which you're paying money and are contracted to for a period of time. What has been clear throughout all of this is that critical dates are still critical dates. So regardless of what's going on, leases are expiring. Something needs to happen with them, whether they're just being rolled over in a way which has been more on trust than perhaps we've seen before. That now needs to be followed up with the formalization of documents. That is something that we can't take our eye off. And I think that's where portfolio administration will continue to support on that. You know, we've got multiple leases for multiple clients expiring every single day in a variety of different countries. Something needs to happen with those. Generally speaking, on a kind of a broader level, as people begin to come back to work, home working is generally not as well advanced as it is in kind of perhaps in North America and some of the European markets. So people generally prefer to work in an office. So that home-based working over the last 2 months has been a real big journey, a real change to how we continue to deliver, how we continue to work with clients. And I think whether that will change the nature of leasing, I'm not sure, still too early to say. What we can see is that the big things people are going to want to know about, they're going to want to know about security. And there's one part that Brett picked up on earlier, and as more and more people are working from home, it's that what's happening to our office whilst we're not there? And there was that question we had from a client over the last couple of weeks was, what's the security provisions within our lease? Now, who's actually keeping our office locked? Who's making sure the building's secure whilst everybody's on enforced lockdown? Again, some of these things that we begin to pick out. What has been interesting is that differing age of buildings have differing requirements for maintenance. And whilst a lease for an old building and a lease for a new building may look the same, what we may see is a flight for quality, and certainly some of the views of the brokers as they're beginning to advise clients who are having to deal with these critical dates is, who's built this building? Is it new? Does it have the latest air handling units? What's the maintenance regime this landlord? Who's managing this building? Who is actually providing these services? These are the things that I think beyond portfolio administration, which is collecting, if you like, the black and white of data, it may be driven more a view as to who is the landlord? What is the quality of this landlord? Can we ensure that our cash deposit with this landlord is safe? No. Very often in Asian markets, the landlords have certainly held the power. You know, this is very much mood 180 degrees into a tenant market. Lots of these markets in Asia Pacific don't have perhaps the security of deposits that you would see in a European and North American with escrows and deposits held separately. These deposits, potentially for bigger offices, they're a big sum of money. What do you get if you've got a very diverse landlord who may succumb to the current operating environment? Where does your deposit go? What do you do with that? Is there going to be a greater trend towards bank guarantees? I think there will, but it's not going to happen overnight. I think there's a real sense at the moment is let's all get back to work. Let's get things moving. And then let's begin to drive out some of these changes that we all collectively want. And the tenants can drive that whilst the landlords are really needing to get lettings completed, new tenants through the door, and just that general comfort around tenants being able to pay the rents on a month-to-month basis.
Great, thank you. And maybe, Kim, we'd finish up with you. Any sort of final thoughts or comments around what we've been talking about?
I think there's some consistent themes across what, you know, Brett is seeing in the Americas, I'm seeing in EMEA, and Nick seeing across APAC. And I guess you could summarize it across three key points. One, it's going to be critical from this point onwards that portfolio administration is a key part of a client's business continuity plan. You know, having that robust database there with all of the critical information that you might need to rely on in times where you can't access the building, the external environment is changing very rapidly. I think the particular COVID-19 events that we're all facing at the moment will also force clients to reassess their approach to data management, streamline some of the processes, consider outsourcing more of the functionality to reduce the risk. You know, as we've given some examples, outsourcing certain functions to a provider means you're in a position to respond to changes far more rapidly. Brett mentioned the example of where Cushman's was able to pull back on some paper-based payments, and I wonder whether we'll see over the near future a trend and a request from clients to pay landlords electronically, just to again reduce an extra element of risk in the process where you're relying on a third party to make that delivery effectively. And, you know, we've said clients that had a robust database in place are in a better position to respond to the environment at the moment. And so I think we'll see clients starting or improving their database and their portfolio administration. We'll, at the outset of that project, try to understand all of the potential ramifications and the uses of that data so that the client is, you know, well equipped to deal with whatever challenges might come down the line.
Yeah, Kim, and if we're going to leave clients with one message, I think that's it, which is it is vital to understand. And this isn't just for commercial real estate. It's across all data. It's vital to understand the data that drives your business in all aspects and be able to capture as much of it as possible. We've yet to see a client say, boy, we're capturing too much data and we've got too much to be able to make good decisions on. So do that at the outset, capture more than you need, and it'll be there for you when you least expect it, such as times like these.
Great. Brett, thanks for that. And Brett, Kim, and Nick, thanks so much for joining me. Great to do this remotely, and hopefully we'll be out the other side of this sooner than we all hope or think. And we'll be talking about some other things in the near future. Again, thanks very much for joining me.
Thanks, Michael.
Great.
Thanks,
thank
Michael.
You.